Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night. This is Gray Eye Smith, and you're listening to Bad Company. We are a late night poets production that is a group on allpoetry.com. And we have anthologies available on Amazon.com under the same same name as Late Night Poets. So feel free to check those out. They support these shows. Okay, so I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick here before I introduce the show.
Hello.
Hello, caller 804. Who's that?
This is Salwa. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Salwa. How are you? I'm great.
Thank you.
It's nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
And then we're going to get area code 763. Who's calling, please?
This is Dexter Bailey.
Hi, Dex. How are you?
Pretty good. Glad I could be here this evening.
Yeah, glad to have
you. Hello, Dex.
Hello, Salwa.
Okay, so tonight's show is based on a contest that Lee Wildove and myself ran, and it's called Your Favorite SoundCloud Poem and Open Poetry as well. So that's tonight's show. And so normally I would go with the contest pieces first, but I think tonight I'm going to go with the open poetry part first and then the contest pieces. Okay, so I'm going to post yours right away, Salwa, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, what? I can't remember. Okay. First of all, happy birthday, Phil, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Have a great time.
Her.
Have fun.
Happy birthday to her.
Enticing rumors. Rumeurs alléchantes. I think you have a long list, so I'm just going to go ahead and read the English today. Why as humans, since hesitation, betray secrets who have no refugee? Why as humans, we launch rumors unparalleled, which do not repel ears or eyes? He said, she said, with such insistence, so quickly rumor spreads. In front of this flood of words, the truth is lost. For a long time, friendship died with demoralizing knives and deforms.
Well, that was definitely in-your-face reality. You know, rumors are like knives, and they cut to the core. You know, sometimes removing relationships in that realm of rumors floating by, just a haunting, right? What did you think, Dex?
I thought that this was a great write. You know, the so quickly rumors spread in front of this flood of words. The flood of words, you know, a lot of times the truth is it goes in what's not said. You know, sometimes the truest words are the smaller, or the less words is the most true. And so a lot of times these rumors come out with the flood of words, and it's so much, and then it adds on to another, and it's almost like that game of radio or whatever, where the kids tell each other, the person next to each other, you know, what the other one said, and then by the end it's totally different. You know, this poem hits it spot on what rumors are and what it leads to. So I thought that this was just a fabulous write, Salwa.
Oh, thank you so much, Dexter. And Dexter, so
thank
much.
You, Dex.
Great too.
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Salwa?
Oh, so it's for a contest for best favorite song. I love. I was inspired by Adele's song, "Rumor Has It." Actually, the reason she wrote the song, because her friend, her best friend, starts spreading rumors and believing the rumors are spread. So that's why she writes. And I think this has happened. I'm sure I'm guilty of this myself too, somehow, somewhere in my life, but not intentionally. But I think it can, unfortunately. So I just try to be very conscious about it, not to spread rumors. So I think it happens, unfortunately.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Okay, Dex, I'm putting yours up if you wouldn't mind, please. Just one sec, though. I've got a caller. Hello, Lou.
Hi. I was just going to tell Sala, well said, Sala, you tell him.
I love you.
You know, the way I look at it, if you haven't witnessed it, then take it tongue in cheek. And if you want to know, then go ask the person directly or just keep your mouth shut.
Exactly. Oh. I did this when I was young, but now I'm really high conscious about it. You know, when you're young, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Don't think we just like it. Not intentionally, really, that tries to harm anyone. But anyway, thank you, and I'm happy you're here.
believe
hey,
half
Dex.
Of what you see. Hey, Louie. Believe half of what you
hey,
see
sweetie,
and nothing
how you doing?
You hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Siamese Judas. Is
all right,
on
great.
Same
I got
wave
you on this one.
Today?
Hey. Gray must have fallen victim to the mute monster.
No, I'm here.
All okay. Right, good. Yep, no, you're good.
You
got
to harass him more for
second.
Him to answer.
All right, this
okay,
is
you're up,
this is Siamese Judas, the darkest mixture of intellectual stupidity runs feverishly hot through the molecules of my being as I stare off in the distance, praying for a clue, a field trip of introspection down my conscience's ghetto alley where flat tires are drove on, pipes are found in parks, and beer bottles are weapons. Rescue me. Rescue me from myself. I recognize the folly. Smell the deception to the point of tasting its bitter drip. Rescue me from my cellmate reflection. End poem.
Wow. Beautiful read, Dex. And a striking poem of losing yourself
Thank
in
you.
The madness of existence, you know. Rescue me from myself. I recognize the fully smell of deception to the point of tasting its bitter drip. Rescue me from myself, mate, reflection. Epic poem. What did you think, Tala?
He always like writes very deep poems, and this is one of them about self-recognition. And just one this time, it's really... He gave even a smell to the deception. That's very powerful. I recognize not only the folly, but the smell of the deception to the point of, and taste. It's bitter drip, rescue me from self. There's so much, the word rescue me, there's like this yearning to get out of this, to really want, I stare off in distance praying for a clue. It's just like there's confusion, there's deception, there's loss. In this darkness, and I'm not sure if you blame the intellectual stupidity. I'm kind of missing something here, so I'm sure Luyu will nail it. So I'm gonna wait, but that's what I see.
Not a problem. Thank you, Sawa.
Oh, my pleasure.
And Louie, what did you think?
I'm sorry. I jumped the gun, Gray. Okay, so, you know, the way I look at it, and this is what I'm telling in his comment, we all go down hard. We all do this. I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't smack their forehead and go, why, oh, why did I do that? I mean, you seriously, how many sleepless nights have you been in bed tossing and turning for the things we may have said or we may have did or didn't do, or, you know, it's a process of learning. So one thing I've learned is that you need to breathe and you need to use patience before you're acting. And sometimes this is how, because we've gone through this deck, this is how we help ourselves and how we help others. Now, it's a good poem.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Lulu.
Wonderful comment.
Can I say one more thing? Really honesty. I like what about your writing. You're always very straightforward and honest, truly, when you talk about yourself. So that's very, very great quality. I had to say that.
Thank you, Sawa. Appreciate that very much.
My pleasure.
Okay, Liu, I'm going to post yours here.
Did you? I didn't hear you make a comment.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he did in the beginning.
When? He did?
In the beginning. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, maybe that's when I was calling in. I'm sorry. I don't know. My head said, I didn't hear you anyway.
That's all right. Jump his ass, Lou. No, I'm just kidding. No, he made a comment. Thank you, Gray. Thank you, everybody. I'm just kidding. You better be on your toes tonight, Gray. You're on. Everybody's watching you, buddy.
Exactly.
Okay. Phil wrote me a poem on healing, and I kind of mixed my emotions into the poem that she wrote for me. And I saw this picture, and I saw Phil. And this is titled, and happy birthday, Phil!
I love your energy.
Cascading senses. Autumn's breeze strokes cooling waterfalls. Leaves promenade, fondling the air subconsciousness. Clouded, secreted, unwrapping disguise resonance, beating silently as my aching heart. Receive what has slipped into oblivion. Laughter strains through darkening sun rays, encouraging to transport darkness. Sign sitting by an ancient citrus of leathery leaves, healing fills my inner core.
Wow.
End poem.
That was a beautiful one.
Everyone's tired.
Absolutely.
That was a beautiful read, Liu, and a touching poem. You know, it's filled with love and emotion and self-discovery. I thought it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, she always encourages us through our successes, and she encourages us through our issues and sorrows. You know, she's always there for us, and I just thought, that she's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful person inside.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Lou. And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was a stunning write, you know. Laughter streams through darkening sun rays, encouraging to transport darkness. The comment that I wrote this is happy birthday, Phil, and what better way to say that than this badass write? rather than going kind of the typical route, just write a badass piece of poetry. I'm sure that Phil would much appreciate that. And I thought that you nailed that, Lou. So thank you.
Great comment, Dex. Thank you. And Sal, what did you
think?
Thank
you, Dex.
Oh, beautiful read and amazing. I agree with everyone. I love the title, Cascading Senses, because the water cascade is beautiful to watch. It's just the motion itself, like emotion, so many emotion and deep. It's like coming at once, or maybe a cascade of different cascades. It's really beautiful. That's the title. But I feel here there's so much gratitude for when you say receive what has slipped into oblivion, and laughter. There's a cloud, it's a secret, unwrapping the skies within us, beating silently as my aching heart. You are really aching, and here you received what slipped into oblivion. That's so beautiful. And this is, for me, this is really speak about your friendship and your appreciation for what she did for you. And then laughter streams through. That reminds me of you. She brought back your laughter in the darkest time and transport this darkness. And there's so much wisdom, ancient citrus of there's healing feels my inner core. Really beautiful. Very, very loving and very genuine and sincere. And of course, the beauty of the imagery is incredible as always.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Dag.
My
Thank
pleasure.
You, Greg. And
yeah.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Feliz cumpleaños, Phil.
Joyeux anniversaire.
Okay, so I have the next write-up. It's by Pam 8, and it's called Essence. She gives her essence a shake and laughs until her belly aches. The only other sounds, the break of distant waves and birds awake. The essence is the essence. The essence and deep, sweet dreams come to her, so very cheap. Whose essence is that? I think I know its owner is quite happy, though. Full of joy, like a vivid rainbow, I watch her laugh. I cry hello. Daisies are pretty. Daffies have style. Discussion is illuminating, and so is your smile. Essence is beautiful, just like you. Well, how pretty was that? I thought it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It was very vivid in its presentation. You know, the essence is the essence. Essence and deep, sweet dreams come to her so very cheap. Whose essence is this? Is that? I think I know. The owner is quite happy though. Just beautifully done. What did you think, Dex?
I thought that this was about Phil again. No, this seemed like another great birthday, right? No, this is a very sweet and, like you said, vivid poem. She gives her essence a shake and laughs until her belly aches. You know, what a great way to start it, because, there's no better way to capture somebody's essence other than their smile and their laugh. You know, that's them being in their true selves, where your true self, where you kind of just let yourself go. And I thought that she captured that so well in this write. And it's just this is a little bit of a change of pace from Pam 8, from what I'm used to seeing, as far as there's a lot of darkness in her writes. But sometimes when people have that darkness within them, they can write just such beauty like this one, like this piece. It matches that picture very well too. Just a stunning, just a, I don't know, just a, I love this piece. Very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Dex. And Salva, what did you think?
I just feel like there's awakening of this feeling. She talked about someone, maybe herself, I'm not sure, but someone. I like how she says she, and she starts all this description, a sense, repetition. The only other sound, the break of distant waves and bird awake. It's like almost with the awakeness of a new day. She feels this new sense, or maybe every day it's a new sense for her. Whose sense is that? I love this question. I think I know its owner is quite happy. So I'll talk about be happy, be laugh, and even if you cry, but still laugh. And that's what I see here. It's very beautiful.
Great comment. Thank you, Stella.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Okay. And Louie, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was a beautiful poem. You know, all of us go through issues and problems and darkness. But sometimes we have to go out in nature to let her beauty and her energy, her positive energy, fill us and brighten our soul. And, you know, when we look at the colors around us and the beauty around us, how can you not feel but happiness and want to giggle when you sometimes when I see the butterflies flooding around and the bees, you know, I find myself laughing. You know, to some people, this is something cheap to find happiness in. But for some of us, it is everything that we find happiness in.
Excellent comment, Lee. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please. Sawa.
Oh, I would be honored. I was trying to catch up with commenting. I'll do it later. Okay, and this is Danielle. How do you say his last name? Disicchino? Disicchino? I'm not sure if it's Italian.
Disicchino?
Yes.
Disicchino,
yes.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. Pixelated princess, portraying perfectly planned proportions. Okay. A moral code, a mortal code, a code of contradiction, a word of eyes, a word of spies, a word of voyeur in disguise, a privacy word of compromise, a privacy pact of cyber lies, a promise of fame, designated disguise, a hidden disclaimer, a regret to despise, dreamscapes of escape, mindscape with no escape, one and zero, or is it I'm nothing, end of poem.
Well, that was a wonderfully read poem. You did an excellent job reading that. But, you know, it definitely speaks to, you know, the algorithm of life, one and zero, or is it I and nothing, you know. You get that through this whole, right? A moral code and an amoral code and a mortal code, a code of contradiction. You know, life is full of contradictions and, you know, balances the juxtaposition between a promise of fame and a design disguise, a hidden disclaimer, a regret to despise. Just wonderful. Excellent, right? And what did you think, Dex?
Yeah, I always like Daniel's writing. But much like the photo and much like a pixelated photo, each line to the next is not that far off from the previous. And so I thought that he captured those squares almost perfectly within his writing style and within the lines. A privacy world of compromise, a privacy pact of cyber lies. You know, this entire world that we have now that is built around technology and all of the lies and all of the hidden disclaimers and all of the regret that we all feel deep down from indulging in it. You know, at the end of the day, it's like how many times have you spent on Facebook or social media and at the end of the day just gone, oh my God, I can't believe that I spent a few hours staring at that or whatever, you know. But I thought that this write really captured that. And like I said, from his writing style, he captured the pixelated picture as well. So very well done.
Great comment. Thank you. And Louie, what did you think?
I look at this woman and I see her saying, oh, damn. And there's some regret here because if you look below, there's like a bunch of stuff that she's put online. You know, the thing is once you put it online, you can't take it down. So whether if you're doing something moral, you know, being supportive of a group or something amoral, like, you know, whatever it is that, you know, you consider amoral. And immortal is that our stamp is forever on the internet, and it's opened by a world of eyes, a world of spies, a world of voyeurs in disguise. Have you compromised your privacy? Have you become part of somebody's lies, if, you know, hiding things? And so, you know, I thought this was fantastic, you know, because those dreamscapes of escape and mindscape with no escape, you know, showing that we can't take this stuff down and we're kind of stuck with the image that we put out there. Well, that's the way I saw it. It's zero or nothing, you know, and that's what you come, you know, depending what you got up there.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Louie. Thank you. And Sawa, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Amazing, all of you. I like the ending, how he said, dreams, skates of escape. I see it like we we are tuned in this world. There's something, there's really no, we cannot escape it. Who is not on the internet? Who's not in the digital world? Dream escape of escape. We want to escape it, but we can, that's what I see. Like, and then we escape to also get away from the world we live in, especially now with COVID. A lot of people are on the digital world. And for, look at us now. But unfortunately, we, as you said, we will really compromise our identity. Mm-hmm. And there's so many, I'm a victim of so many of them, unfortunately, myself. So, and that's also not only about the people. I think even once you put your information there, it's like when I even write some and I see ads, if you look, Google for something, the ads come up to get you right away. Like they know what you, that's crazy. There's no really privacy. They know exactly who you are, what you want, what you're looking for, and they will, and the voyeur is kind of scary. It really is. So it's a scary word that we cannot avoid it, unfortunately. We can. Certainly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, I have the next link up. It's by Budo, and he has a SoundCloud. So I'm going to play that.
After day, I'm leaving it all behind. I'm taking roads less traveled. I'm gonna free my mind. I'm gonna live my life like I want to, leave the past behind. See the world with brand new eyes and feel the warm sunshine. Touch the sky. Nothing's gonna stop me now, no way. Rain on this parade. I'm gonna strut my stuff, yeah, and say I've got it made. I'm gonna live my life like I want to and leave the past behind. See the world with brand new eyes and feel the warm sunshine, 'cause I'm flying high. I won't stop till I touch the sky. Gonna find my love, my peace and harmony. I'm gonna thank my lucky stars and what God's given me. I'm gonna live my life like I want to and leave the past behind. See the world with brand new eyes and feel the warm sunshine, 'cause I'm flying high. I won't stop till I touch the sky. Cause I'm flying high. I won't stop till I touch the sky.
Wow, that was beautifully done. Yeah. And what a well-composed song, you know. I'm heading out today and leaving it all behind. I'm taking roads less traveled. I'm going to free my mind. I'm going to live my life like I want to and leave the past behind and see the world with brand new eyes and feel the warm sunshine. And I won't stop till I touch the sky. It's beautifully crafted. Epic poem and song. What did you think, Sawa?
Oh, I really love his writing and his everything that he has. He's just so much talented. Here, he's someone who really went through a lot in his life, but he's going to put it behind him and free himself. And just so beautiful, fly the metaphor, fly to the sky, touch the sky, to really reach high, have a better life, and live his life the way he wants to, or he always dreamed of. And he deserved it. Such a brand new eyes. I told him, yes. See the world with your brand new eyes and see the warmth of sunshine. He's full of emotion. He always put his emotion in there. And he never gets really bored of his writing. It's amazing how he does it. Really great talent. I enjoy it very much.
Great comment, Sawa. Thank you. And Dex, what did you think?
I thought that this was fantastic, as always, like how Budo does, you know. It's just a very powerful, uplifting song, you know. I won't stop flying until I touch the sky. Nothing's going to stop me, no way. You know, there's certain songs that we listen to, you know, when we're down. And, you know, and there's certain songs that we listen to that can almost come in at any time and pick us up. And this is one of those songs that I feel like could come in at any time and just kind of pick us up when we need it. So I just really enjoyed this one by Budo. Well done.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Dex. And Louie, what did you think?
Well, I agree with Sawa and with Dex, you know, going along with their comments. You know, I love this song because, you know, there are some things we cannot change. There are some things that you cannot go back and fix. And when you realize that, or you're in a relationship with somebody, you just have to move on, that's just really bad. We take ourselves, you know, for me, when I have problems and I have issues, there's nothing better than going for a ride, whether it's on a motorcycle or whether it's in the truck with the windows rolled down, and you just travel. You just travel. This allows, you know, my soul to fly. And, you know, it allows me to think and set things straight. And to me, this is the best therapy anybody can do for themselves or somebody else. If, you know, get many of friends on a ride, and, you know, and it helps them. Go pick up an ice cream cone at Dairy Queen and just hit the road, turn on the tunes, roll the windows down, and allow the journey to set you free.
Well said. Thank you, Lou. A great comment. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to bring on caller 877.
Hello, hey, caller 877. Hey, guys, it's Dan Nishino.
Hi, Dan. You just missed your poem.
Hi, Daniel.
Yes, I did. I heard it, and I'm very humbled by the comments, as always. I appreciate it. Much rather talk about everybody else's stuff. That's much more interesting to me. So, but thank you for the wonderful comments. I did get to hear them.
That's great.
Thank you, Dan.
Did you get to hear that song by Budo?
I did, and I really liked it. I'm going to give Budo some props here. I actually just downloaded a song of his off iTunes, one called Road to Perdition. And so he is on iTunes. He is, I believe, probably other places, so everybody should go and look up his stuff and download it and play it loud all over the world so he can be heard. What I like about him to me, and I'm just going to talk about him in general, is what I like about just, you know, I don't believe he's a signed artist. I think he's just a local guy just making music. And to me, that's the raw heart of humanity. That's where you're really kind of hearing, you know, emotions and a reflection of the people is artists like Budo, where, you know, he's not overproduced. He's not, you know, writing to make money. He's just playing kind of raw emotion of what he wants to play. And I've just been more and more into really finding, you know, kind of local artists or just kind of, kind of those raw, unproduced artists, which really is interesting to me. So this is a great reflection of positivity, and I liked it a lot. Yeah, I like his stuff.
Great comment. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Frank to the show. Hello, Frank.
Hello there. Hello there, my friends. It's good to hear you.
How are you? Thank you.
I'm doing all right. That's always a pleasure. I thought it's Ludo, as always, brings his tremendous skills as a lyricist. He has just wonderful, wonderful creativity, you know, to bring poems that we can relate to. And, you know, sometimes, you know, his lyrics are simplistic. But, you know, in the end, these types of lyrics are the ones that are very much memorable to us. They seem to mean much more. So I'm always a fan, I would say. I've always been a fan of his since I've gotten to know him, or I've had known him. I've always been very much appreciative of his music. He's, I do agree with what Daniel said. There is that sense that he is a local guy there, you know, trying to make, I wouldn't say trying to make a buck, trying to get his music across, you know. And that's the main thing. I would assume that every musician out there, just like any artist, would rather have their craft, you know, excelled than them.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. And so you're up actually next, Frank. So I'm going to grab you over there.
Yeah, tonight I didn't bring a friendship piece, right? I went a little bit too dark tonight.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to load that up.
Great.
Yes, Dex. I thought I heard Dex say something. Okay. Well, I'm going to grab your piece here. Okay, I'm playing it now.
Runry Pusher, the poor gent that was my old friend, had presented himself to me as a hoary and fragile man seen, and his peculiar mien was that of a scared namby-pamby, for the celeritous tear in his dilated eyes was truly palpable. The house of Usher was towering and had a dark gothic shade, covered by the menacing guise of the sable eyes of the ravens. On the gable roof of a dilapidated mansion nearby the adjacent town, but it had a noticeable thin crack extending to the front of the house. The reflection of the moon had shone upon the uptenebrated night, as the sound of the flapping wings and croaks of ravens were audible, and the brazen wind thus blew the eerie echoes of the howling over the damp and dank road erected on the top of a steep rock. I could hear the dreaded gnawing of the horrid rats with their beady eyes. Mm. They had gnawed at the fading wood of the walls of visible erosion, and the sturdy planks of the floors would creak upon every footstep taken, but an unknown weeping and breathing had resonated behind the creepy walls. Flashing lightning and roaring thunder had increased by the passing minutes. The roaring dewdrops of rain fell upon the slippery roof in glass windows. The hour of the vintage clock had rung in the parlour below the rust. I had sensed the presence of an unbidden visitor that was no stranger. Suddenly, I had heard the scream of a woman in the gasping of Roderick. I had dashed from my chamber to find him completely discomposed, for his terrifying eyes were evidently bulging with heightened trepidation, and it seemed he had witnessed an unthinkable ghost in person. Will she not be here anon? Is she not hurrying to upbraid me for my haste? Have I not heard her footstep on the stair? Do I not distinguish that heavy and horrible beating of her heart? Madman, madman, I tell you that she now stands without the door. Who? 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 I asked. The Lady Madeline, behold!
Well, that was epic, Frank. Wonderful storyteller.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you're a master storyteller and a master ornator, I must say.
I appreciate
beautifully
that.
Done.
Thank you very much. I had fun. And when I saw the title there, you're asking for the favorite one. I had to choose this one, and this is one of my favorites, a performance.
Wonderful, wonderful read and excellent, right? What did
Thank
you think,
you very
next?
Much.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, I remember this poem. I really enjoyed this one. This one reminded me almost of like a Scrooge type poem or something where the spirits are coming back. And I don't mean that. I thought that this was awesome. This reminded me of kind of old English. Late 1800s, you know, European kind of style where it was just very chilling and but very classical in its delivery. I thought that this was an epic write and very well done.
Well, I appreciate that. It was based on the actual short story of Edgar Allan Poe. The Fall of the House of Usher.
Well done.
Absolutely.
I appreciate
and
that.
And Lee, what did you think?
I am not a fan of scary stuff. I am so sorry. it was like listening to the radios from the 1930s and 40s, the way you did this. The descriptions and imagery is vivid. The things that you wrote about the rats and the footsteps and that woman groaning, that was, I probably wouldn't have been able to sleep if I had heard that as a little kid at night. That was some good stuff. And I don't like scary shit. So.
Oh, you mean?
Yeah, no. If I heard that, I would have to like, oh my God.
Yeah, so
if I wasn't there and come tonight, I would have scared you tonight. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you probably won't sleep anyway.
Scurrying feet and footsteps. You know when you know, either you know what's coming, and then the mixture of all the hauntings, and you know, and then it seems like when you're terrified. Everything tends to get louder and surround you. So, yeah, I'd have to hide somewhere. I'd be hiding.
All right. I'll send you some mud on this other day. Thank
and
you
what
very
did
much,
you think, Daniel?
Yeah, so I do like scary shit, so this is very good. I enjoy it a lot. I'll say, but it was, I agree with Lulu, it's, this is the 1930s, radio read, which is so great, Frank. I love it when you do this. I'm always very happy when I don't have to follow Frank in my reading, because it's such a hard thing, you know, a hard performance to follow, but it's such a lost art form, you know, you just... You know, I'm a huge fan of Star Wars and the Avengers movies, and all. I really am. I love those movies, but the poetic, I love them to pieces. But the poeticness of some of the older movies, the older, especially the radio shows that was there, I don't find as much. So having you know this type of a thing is so huge. You definitely did Poe justice here. with both the performance and the writing. I was seeing, and, you know, I'm probably reading way too in it, but I was seeing some little hints of other Poe in here. I don't know if you did, like, at the end, the horrible beating of her heart, like the telltale heart, and I saw a couple of others in there too. I don't know if you did that on purpose.
Yeah, somewhat of that,
but
yeah.
Did you do that? Did you do it on purpose? Oh, excellent! So yeah, that's beautiful that you did that.
Some elements of that as well. The Telltale Heart. Perhaps I'll do one of those Telltale Hearts for you, Daniel, if you want. I'll see when I get time. I'll do a rendition of that. There, I usually read that. I've read it before when I'm not performing on the stage. When I'm not doing performance on the stage, I do a video. I mean, a voice acting as well. I do a lot of Poe. I memorize Poe by heart already, so. I'll see if I can do you one of these renditions there of a Telltale Heart.
That would be great. I would love that. He's amazing. From Boston, where I am, actually, by the way. And,
I know.
There's a little statue up that I've seen a couple of times. That's interesting of him. But anyway, I love Poe. I think he's amazing and still underrated. The way you composed this was such a great tribute to him. You know, like Lou said, it's the 30s style. It's the style of writing of his style, and also that combination of that radio style that is just absolutely amazing. And then along with your performance as well too. Again, a lost art form that I love to see still back. So fantastic, man! I absolutely loved it. It was beautiful.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Excellent comment.
Thank you.
Excellent comment, Daniel. Okay, I have the next poem. It's by Diane B. She has a SoundCloud.
When Age Talks by Diane D. Everyone owes death a life, and her debt was coming due. Wilting and leaden, she shuffled ploddingly across the maroon shag rug to plop down onto the ruddy cafe corduroy couch. A double dumpling figure bent with age. I studied her time-chipped, weather-stricken face, a road map to her grotty past. Skin was like used tea leaves, nearly fossil, it was so dry, smelling of Chantilly lace and mothballs. Her once blue eyes are blood speckled and flitting side to side, wizened, shrunken, like a fading white rose, rheumatic and crookedly framed fingers combing her thinning gunmetal hair. Well-groomed, salt-and-pepper brows, raised playfully when she lilted cackles of an old biddy. Prune juice was surely a staple of her diet. Her bones scoffed at the grinding noises, showing she lived in the winters of life. She was once a lover, wife, mother, grandmother, friend, teacher, cook, cleaner. She was an enterprise by herself. Every wrinkle tells a story of struggles and survivals. Yes, everyone owes death a life. End poem.
Well, that is just a beautiful poem, you know, touching on the subject of getting old. And the beauty in that, in those wrinkles, you know, the history, the roadmap of life that is emblazoned onto the flesh. Just a wonderful, right, and an excellent read. What did you think, Dex?
Maybe, you know, I'm the kind of guy that has like 100 songs in his top 20, but that might be one of the best poems I've ever heard. I don't know. Like, that was just a stunning write. She was a lover, a wife, a mother, a grandmother. She was an enterprise by herself. I mean, just everything about this, showing she lived lives in the winters of life. Combed her thinning gunmetal gray hairs. I mean, this rite almost brought tears to my eyes. It was so stunning. And for the title, When Age Talks, you know, when that old, tough and gritty, and, you know, when just when you thought about quitting and you thought you had it tough, age is, you know, this older woman is going to tell you exactly, you know. It just reminded me of my grandmother. Just a beautiful rite. I was just blown away by this.
Fabulous comment. Thank you, Dex. And Louie, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, I agree with Dex, you know, that this reminds me of family and friends of elderly people that I have loved and have passed away, you know, and we watch them go through this. We watch them age. We know what they've gone through, and we see life on their face, how beautiful these people are. And it just makes me so deeply sad that so many people don't pay attention to elderly. You know, I smiled when it says that she smelt like perfume and mothballs. For me, it was this perfume my grandmother wore, and there was this oil that was from Spain that she would put in her hands and put in her hair, a pomade. And I remember those smells, you know. And I, you know, her, to me, her hair was beautiful. It was beautiful, that silver strands that glistened in the sunlight. And, you know, the story of her life, and then we lose them, so deeply sad.
Yeah, beautifully sad, Lou. Thank you. And Daniel, what did you think?
I agree with everybody. I was thinking the same exact thing as Lou. You know, and especially in American society, it's always made me, it was confusion and sadness to me that, you know, the younger people are basically just looked off as not knowing anything. We don't listen to them, even though they have, you know, fresh eyes. And, mm-hmm. and elderly people who actually have seen everything and are wise, we ignore. It's the middle muddled masses that everybody listens to that really are walking around confused. And you know, the... You know, that ending part got me as well, too. She was, you know, a wife, a lover, a wife, a mother, grandmother. You know, we look at elderly people, and they've seen it all. They've been there. You know, I always say, you know, we read history books, right, and we listen to history professors. You just talk to elderly people. They were there. They are history. And I think this is a very great, beautiful tribute to, you know, to an elderly person, or to just general to elderly people, that they've had these great, you know, when you get to that age, you've had these great, no matter what your life is, had a great life, had a life of history, a life of experiences, and it's all within you, it's all there. But it's something to think about a lot, of why we do not, why our culture here generally does not listen to elderly more for their being wise and you know, understanding of what they've been through. So yeah, very beautiful, you know, tribute to a great elderly, you know, life.
Well said. Thank you, Daniel. And Frank, what did you think?
This poem here, really, you know, that whole, just that first line, you know, the first stanza, is very indicative of what this poem, you know, signifies. Everyone owns death. Now, we associate, usually it's the other way. We associate death to life. I mean, we associate life with a rebirth, unless you do believe in a rebirth through the form of death. Well,
sorry, Frank, you cut out at the very end there.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Okay, I'm sorry. It's probably. I just want to say very, very briefly what I was saying. I think that the poem really does reflect, really, you know, the common essence of not only aging, but, you know, of our own fragility, you know, our own limitation, our own mortality above all. And I think that we often don't think about our mortality, and we tend to discard it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry, Frank, you're cutting out again.
We thought we... Oh, okay. I just want to say we become more susceptible with aging, but I thought it was a great poem. If I cut off, I apologize. If I cut off and apologize and I'm off the air, it's not on my doing, my friend. It's probably the connection where I'm at.
Right, okay. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I have the next write-up. Okay. It's by R.S. Morris, and he has a SoundCloud, so I'll play that.
Sitting quietly in this rifle pit, not fun anymore, I must admit. To my new country, I did commit, since Lincoln caused our country split. The politics of this went awry, any logic they did not apply. Both sides meeting eye to eye, causing thousands so far to die. Stuck here at the wilderness, still discussing Lincoln's address. He didn't think it through, I guess. Can only pray for our success. Generals play this game, they're really all one and the same. From the same schools they came, all one people, just different name. What'll it be like when it ends? Will Lincoln try to make amends? Will he pretend we're all friends? Swanky galas and balls he attends. We're in mud, killing our brothers. Be on the farm if I had my druthers. Out on a picnic at Anna Mae's mother's. Or out fishing with Preston and others. Here we go, I hear the yells. Breathing musket cartridge smells. There goes howling of cannon shells. Hear the moaning of brothers' farewells.
Wow, that was a beautiful read. And what a wonderfully rhyming poem with such descriptive matter. I really liked it a lot. Here we go, I hear the yell, breathing musket, cartridge smells, there goes the howling of cannon shells, hear the moaning of brothers' farewells. It's an epic raid on the Battle of 1864, and it was called the Battle of the Wilderness. The battle pitted Grant and Lee and was considered a draw. But yeah, just an epic raid. What did you think, Dex?
Yeah, I love historical rights, and, you know, I love how he kind of took it from the perspective of, you know, your average guy on the battlefield, you know, and the questions that they had and the thoughts that they might have been thinking. You know, our generals play this game. They're really all one and the same. You know, it's... you know, I think that it's common kind of knowledge, almost kind of conspiracy theorist like, to think that this stuff is happening. I seen this footage from like the 50s of these people talking, and they were talking about how they were questioning the government and they, all of these things. So it's almost like, you know, people think nowadays that, being anti-government or conspiracy theorists, quote unquote, is like a newer thing in the internet thing. But people have been questioning and having these thoughts and concerns and not trusting for a very long time, probably since the dawn of man and since the dawn of a hierarchy. So I thought that this was a very well done in just capturing the thoughts of maybe just your average man on the battlefield.
Fantastic comment, Dex. And Lee, what did you think?
That was an excellent comment, Dex. You know, for me, this, you know, it just brings me to the sadness of a man who's being dragged into the war, who's forced to kill his cousins, his brothers, his other family members from the north and the south, and how the family suffered too much. You know, the women and children left at home, and the things that would happen to them when they would run their property, and you know, and I just can't imagine, you know, and that's why so many, and, you know, so many people suffer from PTSD, the cartridge, the musket shooting, the cannon shells, watching your brethren, die or be injured, you know, and this is just something that we've carried all the way along with us, you know, but it's one thing to be killing our own family members in our own country versus going to fight a war to free ourselves from another country. You know, this to me was just, it's an upsetting topic when you see everything that happened and the stories and everything, you know, the diaries and, you know, sending love letters that their wives would never get. It's just deeply sad. Very well written. It was like listening to it on the, like again, on the radio, and listening to somebody read something from their great, great family grandfather's diary. Excellent.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Daniel, what did you think?
I definitely agree with the comments. It's always interesting to take different perspectives. You know, for what's always brought up with the Civil War is you know, fighting for freedom of slavery, and it's interesting just to have that other perspective, especially back then. It wasn't like there was CNN. You know, it was like we're saying, there was just people kind of called to war for, I don't know if they knew what for. And you know, I I've read a lot of history about the Civil War, and a lot of people, I believe it was actually more about where the Intercontinental Railroad was going to go. Was it going to be up in New York, or was it going to be down the South? Where was it going to go? Because that was huge, huge money. And I think that was kind of a lot of it, and then the slave trade was obviously a huge part of it, too, and you know, slavery being so important to the economy at the time down the South, right? You know, a lot of serious, issues going on, and like, you know, Lou was saying, you know, fighting our cousins and brothers and, you know, Americans fighting each other for this, and with you know, the slaves' lives at stake and all of this. It's just, it was a very, very troubling time. You know, being in Boston here, we have our art museum. I always think is top notch. I've been to a lot of them around the world, and we have a very big American history section. And I actually was following around one day a tour group from Britain at this American history. And it's just very interesting to me when they were walking around. They were describing all the stuff as the rebels, as opposed to as like patriots that we would do. They're like, oh, when the rebels are doing this, you know, they hit over here. It was all kind of almost negative because they're talking to it about from a British perspective about how we, you know, came over here and basically, you know, they paid for us to come over here, and then we said, you know, screw you guys, we want our own country, and that's, it was kind of from that perspective. So I really, what I enjoyed about this was from that different perspective of not just, you know, Lincoln the hero and Lincoln the you know, the freer of slaves, you know, which that was, you know, obviously a huge part of that, but just this other perspective of what's going on here. And the perspective of, you know, why is Lincoln, you know, somebody thinking of why is he starting this? So it's, you know, I like Dex, I'm fascinated with history, and that was it was very, very interesting perspective on it. So talk about history for hours, but that's, you know, that's what all that brought out in this poem. So great job.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I've heard, I have to concur with everyone. I've heard some of his pieces before, and they give me a unique perspective here. What's wrong? But I feel that perhaps he gives the Southern version of what happened in the Civil War, you know, in which we don't really hear often. We often hear the version of the victor, not of the one who has been defeated. And I think that that's what's unique about his poetry. I've heard some of his speeches before in his right, and they are associated with this type of theme. And of course, I'm not prevalent to the battle itself that he mentions, but I am aware of the Civil War and what happened in the American Civil War. And I'm very much, I have to say, you know, what was said before about the common man, I believe it was Dex who said that, it's very painful to realize that most of those men who go off to the battlefields, you know, if you ask them, you know, why they go there, they go and they say, well, I put the interests of others before my own interests, in particular the country's interests. But if you ask them of what they really think when it comes to the reasons why they're there, if they could tell you, they would tell you otherwise, or at least say what I think. And I think this poem does offer us the insight here of a little bit of that. We try to grasp onto something that happened so long ago through the form of his poetry here. So I really find this very unique, that he does offer a unique perspective, his own Southern perspective, if I can say that. So I thought it was a great poem, great read as well.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I have the next poem. You're up. Welcome. It's by Jasker, and he has a SoundCloud as well. Once I can get it here. There we go.
Hey, the King of them, as I see him. As dawn, this is the day, the Sunday circles, I peek through the window, the flower unfolds, the beating signature, welcome with me. Body nature is, as you can rest, the system of winds, jumping in the running there is the sweet. As easy as ever, governed by the fair wind, across the country, found by varying. Indian embrace, where timing golden stars are found, heaven preserved. Bees with her skin, lung has no shape for birds now, a mocking bird calls, and the mud falls. As I melt down, I paint a beautiful canvas on paper, wielding ink in a bird, the voice of everybody's game, taking a rhythm, in the sample words. I wrote an idiom, a gender beaver dog, using a mud, all the earth. I'm bowing and walk alone, with color in mind. I call it a day. Standing under the banks of stars, with birds in my ear. So go and then feel, is the end. Dance around the golden stars. For God, want you to keep breathing. Each blessed moment, you give to the world. Thank you.
Well, that was a wonderful write, you know, filled with beauty and excellent imagery. You know, you can feel the love of his life in here. Just a wonderfully written poem. What did you think, Dex?
Yes, I agree. You know, as I mellow down, I paint a beautiful canvas on paper, wielding ink in my blood, the voices of everybody's pain. You know, that's a strong burden to carry with on yourself. But poets seem and artists seem to be the ones that carry that. You know, because they write stuff that can be identified by everybody. They paint things that can be related to by others. You know, artists kind of do carry the pain of everyone. So I thought that this was just a very powerful rite and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Dex. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm getting really lazy. I need to start doing a SoundCloud. It seems to me everybody's putting a lot more effort than I am, so I appreciate everybody's SoundClouds. This is really a beautiful love affair towards towards just the beauty of nature and the beauty of the world. It is great, as dawn greets the day, the sunrise sparkles, I peek through the window. The flower unfolds, revealing its true nature, welcoming the bees, watching nature's bliss. It's just this, and I always say that it's that first early morning, when you first wake up, before you realize the craziness of the world that you have to go in, right? You usually have a little bit of peace when you first wake up before you remember everything that has to happen. And it seems to me like this poet stayed with that, right? Was able to kind of, the sun first came in, looked out the window, and then keep that kind of, majesty of nature throughout the day, as opposed to getting caught up in everything, even though there's little hints of it, right? Which I really like. Jumping into running gear, hit the streets as easy as stubble, gunning past a fierce wind, and then he's kind of back in it again. A breeze refreshes the skin, lung has no space for words. So it's almost like he's trying to get caught up in the craziness of the day, but he can't because he's still just hung on to how beautiful everything else in the world is. So I really appreciated that a lot, and I like Discarian's poetry. So nice job. I enjoyed this.
Wonderful comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I have to agree. If there's one thing I appreciate is the beauty of observing nature in its rawest, purest, naked form. And that is, to me, the greatest, highest inspiration beyond love, of course, that one can be inspired to write. And I love that whole concept that he brings such exquisite lines in those first his observation of nature. And I like the fact that he included himself there as an inspiration for his pinning there. This poem does have, as always, if it's his writing, whether it's a gentle tone of remembrance or it's it's seeping pain of grief. Jag is one of these writers who, through his, and I do feel it's because of his own experiences in life and what he goes through daily, that this is what makes him even more conscious of the things that perhaps we take for granted or we don't really care to observe much. He does, and that's really takes my breath away that he consistently writes his poetry, with such a conscious level of awareness that that is very honorable because it's not really seen in many people nowadays.
Yeah, excellent comment, Frank. Well said. Okay, I have the next poem up. It's by Colab. She has a SoundCloud.
We'll be intrigued today.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. Tonight, the lamppost on the street glows, taking the place of the moon where she's at rest. Somehow you penetrate a poem, weaving yourself like the fine veins in onion skin paper on which you once wrote love letters to real men. Now you hide behind different metaphors that you've tinkered with knobby fingers on different themes, posting them online. Still, the light through the crack of the door left ajar filters in. Somewhere lost between stanzas and ambulance siren roars, this neighbor soon will be moved to a nursing home. On the radio, they've announced a lesser figure than the actual number of demonstrators against the COVID pass. A fillet of smoke from the incense stick snakes its way through carefully chosen words to dilute colors and ethnicity in an attempt to appeal to a universality. Rise above the ego. Annihilate the ego, her inner voice whispers. The sound of lemongrass being pounded between a mortar and a pillar, something about a grandmother that stands as tall as Notre Dame, but her towers are in flame. some desperate people trying to cling to a wings plane, taking off while the bearded men have taken over this country again? To make matters worse, the last of the killers en masse of her native country is about to be tried 40-some years later. Her pen seems to weigh a ton. She's scratching the paper, making tears instead of her words. Tonight she's weary with the weight of a déjà vu. April 1975, the fall of Saigon, being broadcast live on television. This poem will be left unfinished, like the door someone forgot to close. End of poem.
Such a beautiful poem. And that excellent SoundCloud as well. You know, tonight the lamppost on the street glows, taking the place of the moon when she's at rest. Somehow you penetrate a poem, weaving yourself in like fine veins in onion paper, onion skin paper, on which you once wrote love letters to real men. You know, you can see all this as she goes through each stanza, just a beautiful expression of remembrance and going through life as you remember these things. Beautiful job. What did you think, Dex?
Yeah, this was hard hitting, right? You know, about you know, Vietnam, about just society in a time society in life in that time period and people that had lived through that. You know, being pounded between a mortar and a pillar, something about a grandmother that stands as tall as Notre Dame, some desperate people trying to cling to wings plane taking off while the bearded men taking over. This is a, let me flip what I said. This is almost like as if it was Saigon, but I feel like it was, about Afghanistan, you know, but it's just the regurgitating of things happening over and over and over. The way that she ended that, though, being broadcast live on television, this poem will be left unfinished like the door someone forgot to close. You know, I take back what I initially said, like I said, about the being about Vietnam, but there's so many comparisons to that, about the war that maybe never should have happened and maybe the war that was kind of left undone, you know, the mortars and stuff being still left over there, but still, you know, and then now us just kind of fleeing out of Afghanistan with nothing really have changed or, you know, and just a stunning write. I'd like to go through this again, but this is, as always, Colab delivers on this one. What a beautiful write.
Excellent comment, Dex. Thank you so much. And Daniel, what did you think?
Daniel had to run.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So, Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I have to say this poem is like a chronicle of events that unfolded, you know, throughout time itself, you know, within the world itself. There's so much here, so much depth in this. As with the case with Colab, she generally writes very, very powerful writes, you know, and her metaphors are very powerful as well. I have to say that that whole notion of the title there, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It seems like a cliche, but unfortunately it's one that we seem to adopt very well. We seem to not learn the lessons of life, or even in this case, the lessons of war. And it seems so daunting that, you know, the earth is there, you know, it's we who control for the most part as the highest species on the planet. We are the ones who control the actions for the most part of what goes on in this planet here. And if we decide to do something, we do something. If we decide to do nothing, then we do nothing. It is the sad reality, unfortunately, of a reflection of our own humanity, our own species. So it does make you think, you know. I think that she really brings the thought of that to me.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Brian. Great comment. Okay, so I have the next piece up. If you wouldn't mind reading that, please, Dex.
Not a problem. Okay. This is Liberal Opera Voices by Delicious Outrage by Blue Right 76. Forbidden Premiere, Maidens Masqueraded, In Vogue, Black Veils, Ladies Agog, Mozart and Beaumarchais Chase, original opera, From Continent After Prague's Sensation, Nouveau in England, Regency Magnifying Quizzing Glasses, Lognaret's Focus in Mirage of Figaro, Brindle's Follies, Laughter Disguised, Political Undertones, Mistaken Identities, Lacharius Counts, Bride Stealing Motives, Motive Countess in Pursuit, After Marriage, Wedding Night, Final Act, Raptures, Crowd, Jumped in Shock, Veils Forgotten, Countess Dressed in as Susanna, Roasting the Count, Figaro, who doubted Susanna, professing eternal love, Woman Betrayed as Elan, Scandalized, Tabbies, Hypocritical Censures, Delicious Outrage, Men Scrutinizing, Cheering Women, Revolutionary Comedy, Yet Intelligent Liberals, Wanted Encore, Historical Roaring Ovation, End Poem.
Great read, Dex. And, you know, this is a powerful accounting of history, you know. It's about where Figaro marries Susanna against all odds with the help of comical friends, and how the lustful count who pursues Susanna is brought to heed by the countess. Women portrayed in flattering light, infidelity of men questioned and conveyed with delectable humor, wrote history. I enjoyed writing this. Yeah, it was an epic take on that, I thought. What did you think, Frank?
Yes, I was looking up, I have to say, I was looking up notes as well, and I thought this was an epic write. I thought the poet or poetess, I'm not sure if it's a he or she, I'm looking up the name, I'm assuming it's a he, did a fantastic job here of the personification there of Figaro and Susanna there, of the story there. You know, I'm looking, it talks about it being comedy. I vaguely remember this piece here as far as what was the inspiration for the poem. I just thought the poem really was magnificent. You know, there is that subtle nature there where, you know, where he brings us all the detail, the setting, you know, the background as well, and the details. But I like that notion there of woman portrayed with Ellen, Scandalized Tabbies, and what goes on there to say, yet intelligent liberals wanted encore, historical war and ovation. It really talks about a period of time as well, as what I believe Jack said about time period there, you know, in which this existed, and which society, you know, based its principles, based its morality upon. It's sad that, unfortunately, that these things transpired and occurred back in those days. But it does bring to mind, you know, how much, you know, the years have advanced. To a certain degree, we still find issues, you know, where the people are having to deal with, you know, trying to be understood, trying to have some balance of rights there, you know. So I thought it was a fantastic piece.
Great comment, thank you. And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was an epic write. I always enjoy reading writes from kind of other cultures' perspective, or maybe forgive me if I'm wrong, but it feels like a non-American kind of perspective as far as the write, the wordage, just the everything. Obviously it's set up to be in an opera kind of old English style, right? But it feels like it's almost from a different perspective even than that. And the way that this thing is pieced together is just so unique. It was just a very, very original take on something that has been covered, you know, over and over and over. And I just think that it was just very well done, and I the language used throughout was just beautiful. So very well done.
I have to agree with you on that. That was an excellent comment that you said.
Hello?
Halloween Decoration by Martha Gennell. Flying on my broom, doing fine. I was making me some real good time. I was on a schedule I had to meet, and the clock I was trying to beat. My cat there on the back hanging on, and I was humming me a catchy song. My sisters and I, we are doing great. I should have known I was tempting fate. Flying through the air, not looking ahead. I should have let up on my foot of lead. I was digging the speed, don't you see? I never saw the tree in front of me. Flying through the air with not a care. I wish I'd have known what waited up there. I tried, but I just could not stop. Before I knew it, we always flopped. Flying through the air, not looking ahead. I should have let up on my foot of lead. I was digging the speed, don't you see? I never saw the tree in front of me. That tree had a hole that I went in, but I can't get out the other side again. Now here I am, it's such a mortification. I look just like a Halloween decoration.
That was cute. I really liked it a lot. You know, she did a wonderful job singing that, and the song itself had great flow and rhythm. I thought it was beautifully done. What did you think, Dex?
Yeah, I thought that this was a great write. A lot of fun, but there's also, you know, a lot of truth within it too. You know, I think that this is somebody that maybe has been through an accident or two. What's oddly enough is it's like, you know, flying through the air with not a care. You know, I was digging at speed. It's oddly, you know, it's like, I've been in car accidents where it's kind of like you're flying and you lose control, and you're kind of just, you know, are still without a care. You know, it seemed like it was like almost shocked that it didn't happen. I would imagine that would be kind of what it's like flying. You know, it's kind of like, this is you cruising along, and, you know, because it would be so almost so shocking anyway, but I'm cruising along without a care and didn't see that tree, and then that witch smashed right into that tree. So there's a lot of just good humor with this, and it was a great time of year to bust it out. So very well done, Martha.
Great comment. Thank you, Dex. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I thought the poem really helped his humor, of course. The singer rendition was very good. She was very much had that cadence to it. I was a bit perplexed by the piece. I mean, obviously the humor there, I was trying to get beyond the humor there, but it almost seemed that I could get beyond that whole notion of the flying. I had conjured images to me of the Wizard of Oz, you know, and I thought this poem really was a very good, I would say, remembrance of the lore and the folklore, I would say, of Halloween, you know, All Hallows Eve as well. There is that wonderful tradition here in the States here of Halloween, and if I'm not mistaken as well, in North America and Canada, where you're at as well, my friend. So this poem really brought me back some memories there of tales of which I had seen or read. So it was a great, I'd say it's great write and a great rendition there. I've heard it sing several times, so this is a treat to hear it sing again.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Okay, the next write-up, it's by Just Poppy, and she has a SoundCloud. I'll get that in just a second here. Here we go.
A Doki Doki Literature Club-inspired poem called Cupcake Clouds, read by Natsuki. Today, I feel a little bit sad. Yesterday, I was a little bit mad. But tomorrow won't be so bad. Stormy skies will eventually break. I'm going to bake a cupcake. A big bully will call me a nerd. I'm serenaded by a songbird. I try to catch a falling star, but miss. I received a big hug from my sis. I stop and smell a red rose. A bee tries to fly up my nose. Today I'm sad and the clouds are gray, but tomorrow will be a better day.
Excellent read and wonderful write. You know, it's the light is bright at the darkest times, and that's no exception here. But I liked her author's notes. Poem was read by a professional voice actress who does anime voice work and perfectly captured how we thought Natsuki would sound. Her work, Original Midnight. As long as you are abiding by our IP guidelines, please feel free to publish your functional and poems, fan fiction and poems. Thank you. But no, I liked it. You know, it was a very anime poem for sure. And, you know, I'm going to bake a cupcake. A big bully will call me a nerd. I'm serenaded by a songbird. I tried to catch a falling star, but miss. Received a big hug from my sis. You know, you can see all of this happening, and it's very relatable. What did you think, Dex?
Yeah, I thought this was a great write for what it was going for. You know. For the style of writing that it was going for, it captured that spot on. And, you know, it was an interesting rhyme pattern because it goes, first one is like threes, then twos. And so it kind of flowed on its own, but it still flowed very well. but I just thought that this was a very good write, and it captured what it was trying to hit on. So very well done.
Great comment, thank you, Dex. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, first of all, the voice really just blew me in there. I was wondering if it was her voice, but it could easily have been her voice. You know, someone can easily, you know, to practice, you know, recite, you know, using that type of voice. So the poem itself, it does have a feeling of animation there, of, you know, of what goes on nowadays when with these series of animation now, they almost seem very much very relatable. You know, I hear it all the time. Well, I don't hear it all the time, but I've heard it before from the youth of today, how they relate to, I have nephews, and how they relate to this this type of genre, you know, animation, you know, and how through their storylines, you know, they are able to relate to them, whether it's depression, whether it's just, well, anything in general. These things come out, you know, as themes for these animated, you know, series. And I think that this poem, you know, just reflects, you know, it's not really much of a, well, the poet was very much inspired by this anime series here. And I really do applaud that, you know, that these series nowadays, back in my days, we didn't have those type of series to reflect, you know, to help us out, to guide us, or to give us characters, or someone who we can relate to, not feel isolated. And nowadays, there are these type of series, these animes that perhaps we don't understand, but the youth today cling on to them because they seem to relate much better than the series of reality or the films that we see today.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Frank. Okay, so I have the next poem up. It's by Kel Smiles, and she has a SoundCloud.
Pray, Repent, Repeat by Kel Smiles. Church on Sunday morning, shine on, rise on knees in repentant prayer. Listen to the preacher talk of sin, singing along to gospel hymns or with the choir in the balconies. Attempt to forget the rude attitude when in meeting people who wasn't liked simply because they looked different or maybe they had a strange accent. Gossip about them to all your friends. How much better you are to them. Talk doesn't hurt if you don't know the details of others' life struggles. Church on Sunday morning, shine on. Rise on knees in repentant prayer. Listen to the preacher talk of sin, singing along to gospel hymns or with the choir in the balconies. Attempt to forget the night before, drunk, stoned on the bathroom floor, after dirty dancing at the local bar with the stranger you met, cute as hell. Shots, beer, shots, drunk on your ass. Drove home with them, shotgun seat. If no one knew, then you didn't cheat. Get your groove on with night moves. Church on Sunday morning, shine on. Rise on knees in repentant prayer. Listen to the preacher talk of sin, singing along to gospel hymns or with the choir in the balconies. You're not a hypocrite, not on Sunday. All you have to do is kneel and pray. The sins of the week are washed away. Don't matter how much you repeat. Go ahead, look down your nose at others' expenses, laughable circumstance. Have fun with friends, drunk at the bar. Gossip, flirt, enjoy the stranger's dance. Church on Sunday morning, shine on. Rise on knees in repentant prayer. Listen to the preacher talk of sin, singing along to gospel hymns or with the choir in the balconies. End poem.
Wow, that was a real, you know, a slap in the face at the sacrilege of being a hypocrite in religion. I thought it was just a beautifully expressed poem on the matter of hypocrisy in the church. Beautiful job. What did you think, Dex?
Yeah, you know, I think to a certain extent, we're all hypocrites, you know, when it comes, you know, it's kind of built into being a part of the church. You know, he forgives you, Christ forgives you of your sins. But at the same time, though, there's certain people that I feel like that are in positions of the church that push certain agendas so hard and push certain things that aren't real. And they try to portray themselves in a certain way when they're really not. You know, I think that those are the ones that really stand out about being hypocritical. Because, like I said, at the end of the day, we're all sinners. But it's the ones that try to put themselves in the real fancy church clothes and to really preach a certain thing and to sit there and project a certain, like they hold themselves in a certain manner, that are really the ones that are kind of underlying or that are kind of behind the scenes really probably doing the most harm with their sins that aren't being talked about. So I thought that this was very well done by Kells, and I always enjoy her write.
Great comment, Dex. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I have to agree. Jesus, I myself have written several of his poems, particularly my Wild series on hypocrisy. You know, it can be, you know, here in this case of religion, but it also can be stretched on to or extended to just the basic notion of humanity. You know, it is unfortunate that that we set, you know, we set our differences, you know, we don't set them aside. We seem to dwell on them more than our similitudes. And religion can be that factor where it does, it goes either way. It can unite you or it can break you. You know, I'm not a religious person per se, but I think the notion of this poem here really does touch on really the status of humanity, how much, you know, the whole thing of profiting, you know, greed is always at the center point, unfortunately, of when it comes to issues of religion, you know, when there's conflict, discrepancies. And I think that most of the times, if we only really took the, I think that people who find, you know, faith, regardless of whether they want to find it or describe spirituality, whatever they want to describe it on their own, I'm with you there, my friend. I respect that. Although I'm not religious, I respect that. But when you start enforcing it on people there, then there becomes a mindset that's turned there. Then there's principles that are twisted as well. There is always that need for us as humans to always try to stay in an equal balance. But we don't go too far to the right. We don't go too far to the left. We try to stay in the middle of the issues. And I think this is a point here that's although it does talk about hypocrisy, talking about that need really there of us to try to reach common ground.
Yeah, wonderful comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I have the next poem up. It's by Titus Lewin, and I have a SoundCloud.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me to read that.
"'Twas when the sun arose. The sun arose, it welcomed the new dawn. You turned towards me, stretched, and with a yawn, the smile you gave confirmed true love had sworn. A blessing would it praise our first night born, to which it was the sun who then peeped in. Before it reached the heavens, touched your skin, it was delightful to see a mere chagrin. Togetherness enwraps love's warmth within, while so in love the two of them would swim. Believe the heights display our honeymoon, in shrill, enthralled by what it is we do cocoon. The light would strike the curtain, play a tune, in passing while we two gazed kind of sweet. The moon and sun were later to compete. 'Twas the first and last long distance, 'twas before she left. Her warmth it keeps a clause, of while the sun does shine, the moon it draws, the love from deep within me, finding yours." then without you, if not, then cloudy days. Losing my way, the new moon, it displays nothing. What might it be, it might raise the love I yearned would keep for always. 'Tis often the moon, a welcome will unfolds, a self-belief that some sunny days do behold. An eclipse begins the tale, too late my marigold. The sunset with its carpet of red unrolled. Our future's reassured, now she is my bride. The sun gazed through the curtains, bleary-eyed.
Well, that was beautiful. It was based on a quote. Busy did not fool unruly sun. Why dost thou this through windows and through curtains call on us? Must to thy emotions, lovers, sentient seasons run. By John Beard, by John Donne, sorry. Yeah, it was a fabulous read, and what a touching write, you know. You can feel the love that he has for his wife to be in here. Then without you, if not, then cloudy days, losing my way, the new moon it displays. Nothing, what might that be, it might raise. I love, the love I yearn, it would keep for you always. 'Tis often the moon, a welcome will unfold, a self-belief that some sunny days do behold. It's a beautiful poem. What did you think, Dex?
Yes, I agree, and it's always, interesting about, a lot of times with poets and with artists and with anybody, it's not the poems that have the most likes and things like that that are our favorites. Obviously, this one was very close to heart when it comes to, for Titus when talking about his wife. And on here when it says, it was the first and last long distance what 'twas, it starts off, you don't realize how much you love somebody until they're gone for that distance of time, how much you need them. And then to really kind of rekindle back with them, then he married her. So this is just a very beautiful write, and very, very spot on rhyme. I won't say spot on in the sense that was like perfectly. This is the kind of spot on rhyme that is done suited well for SoundCloud. There's a lot of people that kind of go, well, that's not a true rhyme and things like that, but it's the way that it's said. It's the way that it's projected. It rhymed perfectly. So very well done by Titus, and just a lovely piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Dex. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I'll be brief because I know you run out of time here. I think that Titus himself, I do agree with should respect the says here. Enough of a like, don't get enough comments there compared to others. And you say, well, why is that? So there is a sense of reasoning there of why. I don't know, perhaps popularity, perhaps it's other things. But I think this man here, Titus, is a classic example. I do agree he's a classic writer. He just is a true poet in every essence. And this whole poem here, because I've seen several of his poems that describe his love, his eternal love for his wife. And he does mention at times in his poems how they met. I think it's very touching. It's very envious, to have. I've had that before, I've lost it. But, when you go and you have this type of love, it is one that you should cherish for the rest of your life, because it often, sometimes it never comes again. And I think this reflects that with his reading. You can tell that he's a man that's gone through many experiences in life, and he's a man of wisdom. He brings that to his poetry, and that, for me, really loves that.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Frank. So I have the next write-up, and it's by Intimidus Rex, and he has a SoundCloud. I'm not seeing it. Shoot. Okay, I'm going to try another one. Sorry, guys. Just a second here. Eric Swanson. I think he's his SoundCloud is there. Okay. Yeah.
Calla Lily Lady. O stricken Calla Lily Lady, a humble shepherd brings flowers. Beheld such pain in Sagrada Familia's dim interior. Tallow candle glow framed thy face, a single tear refracted, unbearable grief. Your regal Pieta face veiled by lace, parted, just to show raw, rank heartache. Come, my Calla Lily Lady, let's leave behind the happy curves, swerves and swirls of Barcelona. Lyrical Art Nouveau movement weighs too heavy on you. All color and light drained away by your beloved's death. Raven wing thy constant consort. Grief's magpie only gathers more remorse trinkets. To pastoral shepherd fields we'll go. Rudimentary shack our shelter above the waterfall. Ancient olive tree shall shelter thee. Rough shepherd hands promise gentleness. Rest, recline on softest sheepskin. Bread baked, water cup beside gurgling stream. White doves coo above my Calla Lily Lady. Feel their love as they behold your beauty. Olive oil, the elixir to rub away grief. Bound servant bathes thee in colliquous streams. Pain ebbs away, a strong arms buoy hope up. Resist not the push, pull, and propulsion of stream intuition. Curious spring sun explores through olive branches, traces curls, swirls, and swivels around thy navel. Pointed alabaster breasts framed by iridescent movement, for scalloped life is never static. Your pain made you believe so. Told you a bounteous butterfly could never emerge, crack apart a chrysalis darkened by love's death. My sweet Calla Lily Lady, behold newborn lambs suckle, feel ardent urge to garner sustenance, see how excitement skips kite lights. A nature man sees you healed and restored. Hears your giddy laughter curl, swirl, and swivel down the mountain. By and by, full moon luminescence cloaks you. A rough shepherd and a lady merge. Lyrical convergence of hardened shepherd's body, hungry to ravish, crack open grief's darkened chrysalis, intuition's rod and devotion's staff steers, strikes rock of Gibraltar grief. Sweet serenity release in ecstasy culmination. Below waterfall cascades celebrate. A fawn-free shepherd cleaves unto his calla lily lady. End poem.
Well, that was epic in its reading and its writing. You know, he did a fantastic use of language here, and the flow was immaculate. What did you think, Dex?
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant write. You know, I thought it was filled with awesome just metaphors and innuendos. Eric is one of my favorite poets on the site. He just is such a, especially his SoundClouds. I just love his SoundClouds, the way that he reads with that voice. But his grasp of language and writing is just exquisite. So very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Dex. And Frank, what did you think?
No, I have to say, I have to be partial here, because he is talking about Barcelona in the cathedral there, the Sagrada Familia in Spain. This brought some memories to me there. Myself, I've been there. I know the city quite, I know it very well. I like the storyline. I know it's based on stories there that were inspired by Barcelona. And I think this poem really just, he has a remarkable ability to give us storylines here. And this poem here uses metaphors very effectively. And I like the whole concept and the way he just enveloped there, Barcelona there in the lore there of the cathedral there. And Gaudí, you know, Gaudí is the one who is credited to the cathedral there. So there's so much, you know, people don't know about Barcelona itself, but it has a wonderful folklore as well, and I recommend those who get a chance to go see Barcelona. It is a beauty in itself with much tradition there. It's a great poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. All right, well, I'd like to thank you both for calling in to hang out and share your hearts, your voices, your minds, and most especially your time. Much love, poets. Have a good night.
You're welcome, my friend. Well, I'm not just take care. Take care, my friend.
Good night, Frank. Good night, Dex.